Hi folks, and thanks for listening to this Tortoise Shack podcast. A little bit of housekeeping before we kick off. Please, if you can, click the link that says patreon.com/tortoiseshack. It is the price of a fancy cup of coffee to you, but to us, it is the ability to keep going and having conversations like the one you're about to listen to. This is an exceptional episode of The Fresh Batch, and I really, really hope you stick with it. It looks long when you open it up and see it's over an hour, but trust me, it's worth every single second. Thanks to Dean, Sparky, and to Fat Boy of Brick Nasty for his time. It was an absolute eye-opener and a heart stomper, I suppose, is the only way I can explain it. But if you like what the lads do, please check out more of our podcasts. You can get Echo Chamber, Reboot Republic, Muse Cult, Shrapnel, and so many more, all in one consolidated feed, entirely plea-free. So you'll be giving yourself the gift of not having to listen to me beg, but beg I must. So one more time, patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Enjoy the show.
My soul, color of fuck, so she's not the love of God. I mean, my shit couldn't hack it, so she starts crying. All the boys in school watching like an epic as he called it. Means Jackson wasn't shocking, cause he wasn't sorry then. He's not sorry now. Tried to give me a bell, I promised I'd bust his mouth, break his whole life up, make sure that he regretted it. Suppose you could tell from his tone, he wasn't threatening it. That's 4 years nearly, the one time that I seen him. Showed up at the godfather, I swore I'd do his tea in, hit the Nissan shitbox, clocked down mile away, nearly broke me whole tailbone. Hopping stairs was blue and grey. Slid straight in my ass, couldn't wait to take hold of him. Nearly took the dart, the hinges trying to make me wait over to him. I never forget that look, funny pack glare in his face. Pushed him if you wanna bully, bully me, see what takes. Ragdolled him to the money, butterflies in the belly. Grabbed him by the throat, clenched the fist, couldn't heavy, heavy, heavy.
Fuck off, will you? Fresh, yeah?
Shut the fuck up!
Oh, that voice is
awesome, bro.
Did you like it?
Yeah, because I never really... So what happened to me was I knew who you were. I knew who Brick Nasty was.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get to listen to you. I was in Australia and this fella said to me, have you heard this album? He said it's a fella from Ballymun.
Yeah.
And he didn't call it... What's the name of the album?
In a Crayola.
So that's what he was calling. This band are called In a Crayola.
Ah, yeah.
And I was like... Never heard of him. When he played it for me then, I said, that's fucking...
Butterflies in the belly.
Yeah, yeah. So few people put it together. Is it here? If this is recording, will you type my name out and what's in there?
So what...
Because fly under the radar.
So that's what we wanted to ask you.
Because there are articles where people call you...
Butterflies in the belly.
Yeah, no, and I always give out to them. It's just like some stuff gets through the cracks, because like, it's only me that's looking after it all, but I do try and... obviously I call myself Fat Boy or whatever. Some people just like... If they know me from beforehand, or like, especially... See the way like I'm making music with so many people. I'm not having them call me Fat Boy. Like, we don't have that relationship built up on them. Like, they might call me Brick Nasty, but they would never call me like Fat Boy. So then they're doing interviews and they're like, oh, we worked with such and such, and my name comes up. I'd like for my name and my face to not be... too relevant in the whole ordeal. You know what I mean?
Well, your face won't be in it. If we slip and call
lucky
it,
me.
If we slip,
lucky yous.
If we slip and call it,
flesh in the belly.
We'll edit.
Yeah,
edit,
yeah. Just
edit.
Yeah.
It.
I'll grab something from the album where you're going.
Flesh in the belly.
Yeah.
I'll slip that over.
Yeah, yeah. Do that. Do that one.
We're going to introduce you as Brick Nasty, yeah?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, or Fat Boy or whatever. Fat Boy from Brick Nasty probably just do the best job.
How deep can you go, Fat Boy?
I was wondering. Because, like, there's a lot of stuff that's gone on over the last, like, year or so. And, like, it's been heavy. But, like, do you know what, boys? I trust this. You get what I mean? I trust this. And I know he's going to hold space me. Like, if I go wobbly on you or whatever, I know he's going to put
you
me back.
You won't go wobbly on us.
Yeah.
I was banking on you.
Yeah. Now, look, I might.
Let's get this cunt in. He won't have a clue. We'll ambush him.
It's happened to me before. I made an interview. I cried there altogether now because... I found out about my ma's cancer and I wasn't dealing with it well, and then fucking I came into an interview and in a crew lad only just come out, and like, see when you post things like that online, everyone kind of feels entitled to it then. So I appreciate you asking me, but this woman who was interviewing me just started banging out like the you and your ma chats.
Of course.
And I just started like making pirate noises in front of a whole crowd. She was like, oh, like you talk about like blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, and I just kept hitting on point noises, and all the lads are like, what the fuck is this fella doing? And the interview I had, she ended the interview early, because I don't mind, people have been calling me weird, they didn't even tell you since I was a child, so I was like, I just double down on the weirdness, especially, see, if you catch me off kilt, you're going to have a strange day. Your day is going to be weird, and I'm gonna make sure your day is, you know what I mean? I'm not out of spite, just like...
Well, I know your family.
Do you, yeah? Who would you know the best out of them all?
At the minute, Justin.
Ah, Justin, bro, he's a fucking legend, yeah?
Then, what a flesh in the belly.
Ah, yeah, that's who I'm named after.
Yeah, and so I would have known them, Ma.
Yeah, me nanny Cass, yeah.
Cass, yeah.
Yeah.
They would have been like one of the first people, young people I worked with in Ballymun.
Really, yeah?
Yeah. Sound.
Yeah, lovely people.
Sound people, absolutely sound. Mm. Cass would have been, like, it would have, yeah. Yeah, it would have been a big, are we recording in?
Always, yeah.
Always. Yeah, yeah. That's good, yeah. I like that.
So when I started doing youth work in Ballymun, I was only a young fella. I was 15 when I started doing it.
Mm.
And this nun came into the area called Sister Breed, and yeah, she was deadly. She was nuts. Mm. She was brilliant.
Mm.
She was creative. She was all loads of different things. And the one thing was that she was a force, and she wanted to set up. She seen the youth club that we were running, but she wanted to set up a space for young people who were outside the loop.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and who were missing school and stuff like that, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of that. Nowadays, young people don't really leave school. You don't have, mm-hmm, you know, we don't use the term early school leaver anymore because it doesn't really happen. Now, there are people who are excluded from school, of course.
Yeah, they just slip through the cracks a little bit.
But there would be a lot there. Education, welfare boards and all that kind of stuff are there to pick up on this. And then there's, you know, St. Paul's is a school in Finglas that would pick up, you know what I mean? So there's loads there, like, you know?
Yeah,
whereas
yeah,
this time there wasn't, and she was there, and she was, so she started a CE's game, and I came in on the Monday morning on the CE's game, and the supervisor didn't show up, and she just said to me, Sparky, you're the supervisor.
Oh, well, there you go, okay. Yeah.
And she recognised my natural abilities, and
yeah, I get you.
There was loads of young people around, like, you know what I mean? And it was deadly. It was savage, like. A lot of those young people died, brick, you know?
Yeah.
No, brick, I like, yeah, the way you're showing,
yeah, brick,
name.
Look, we'll take it. I'll take it. Yeah, people call me that before, yeah. People call me brick,
right,
before, yeah.
Brick.
You can call me, like...
Oh, flesh in the belly.
Like, Sparky, I don't want that to be that thing there, you know what I mean? So, like, if you say... Just have an editor.
I do all that. I let it all.
I was going to say, if you have a whipping boy...
I whip myself occasionally.
Edit it, skimp. Edit time.
I do the crying thing as well.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh man, I can't get the fucking tears to come out then. I just can't.
Yeah.
If I love no money, and I sit there and I try, but it won't happen. And I wanted it because I know how good I'd feel after. And I'll sit there and I'll be like, fucking just start pissing out my face for fuck's sake, and it just won't happen.
Where I learned how to do it properly was when I was around people who were being honest, and I was being honest, and we'd laugh, and then from the laughter would come the tears, and just flow.
Yeah, because you had that space there for each other. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's lovely.
I mean, I was saying to you, I don't have them the same as you.
Mm.
I have very, very little experiences of crying.
Yeah.
But a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to start crying now.
Yeah, yeah.
I was on the phone to him. I was on the phone to Dean.
And look at me when you're talking about me.
The tension, the sexual tension in the group with the knife, boys.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
You still haven't done it.
no. Come
yet,
here.
Yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
Before this fucking session.
You talking about the sex? Me and you having sex?
That's what he said. It was sexual tension.
Doesn't mean we have to carry out the act.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Fact. Yeah, the chase is everything, bro. The game of cat and mouse that's going on here.
This is the bit you said that's going to get weird.
Yeah. Oh, I said yes. I said yes to keep the sexual tension.
Yeah, that's it, bro. It's alive and well in the workplace for the two boys. Yeah, good stuff.
I was on the phone today, and I was going into a gig, and I was at the listening to the lyrics of the artist I was going in to see, and realising that they were really spiritual, and I was kind of minded all my life, you know, that the spirit was always there to mind me, you know. So I get out of the car, and I kind of connected with the person that I was when I was on the drink and I was lost or whatever the fuck it was, but I started crying on the phone, and I'm walking up Cable Street, just blubbering into the phone.
But it was
a great moment, because for that week I just kept crying. You know, I was in work, and then somebody would say something to me, and I broke it. Now, it hasn't happened really much since, but I would love to get into it. I'd love to have it as something, you know, I'd love to have it because
it's a good regulator.
You said they break the seal or something. There is something about breaking something and about releasing something.
Yeah, then there you go. Yeah, that's how it goes.
There's a release in it, you know.
And he used the language that you would use, Ray. Regulator.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you still off drink?
Yeah, yeah. I'm 2 years nearly now, yeah. Two years after drinking.
Can I ask, and you don't have to break your anonymity. Do you do the rooms? Do you do meetings?
Do you know what? Tanya was the one who helped me out. And me and Tanya spoke about it a lot. Me and Tanya would meet up and then I started to all my life I just had the lowest self esteem you could ever imagine. I just thought I was fucking, I remember I used to look in the mirror and be you're a wart in the jocks of life, you're something that needs to be cut away, you know what I mean? And I'd be saying that to myself, you know what I mean? I really, really took it to heart and then I didn't think I was going to be able to, I knew when I decide I'm going to do something, I do it. That's the one thing that I don't know, I never took off myself. It doesn't matter, you may be a wart, but you're the most persistent wart I ever lived. Do you know what I mean? So fair balls to you at least there. Do you know what I mean? So when I said I was going to get out to drink, I knew I was going to do it, but I knew I was going to need helping. And Tanya, obviously then, she was out with a record and she was in here. And it was serendipitous because Tanya gave me my first gigs and my first 50 million gigs, do you know what I mean? And the record and playing pure headbanger music, all the boys laughing at me, fucking slagging us and all. But it was that experience was crucial. And then here she was now again to help us into this, ease us into this next part of my life, which was just respecting myself, if you get what I mean?
I'm 4.5 years sober.
Fair play to you,
I use the realms, what Dana's talking about, I use the realms. But I also use those supports that you're talking about, Tanya's and the Gary's and the different people that are out there. So it's very important when you are on that kind of, what I used to do was, I used to give it up, right? So I'd give it up and it'd be I'm going to do this and be determined. And I get a month or 2 months, I actually got 3 years one time.
Yeah.
White knuckling it.
Don't fucking tell me that's back, you'll shit myself.
What do you mean?
he's about 2 years in.
Yeah.
I know people 35 years sober who went back out.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
who were going to rooms, who were doing it. And the thing is that
fucking puts an awful bit of fear in me, Jesus.
Puts fear to me as well because I know that's there for me too. But what I do is I have a practice and I try and practice that every day. You know what I mean? And it's a kind of a spiritual practice in one way because what I do is I hand my life over in the morning. I get up in the morning and I say, look, I can't. It's not like driving a car where you let go of the steering wheel and say to your higher power, whatever it is, look, you take over.
Yeah.
It says in one of the prayers, with me, you know what I mean? And so.
Yeah, you're in a dance with it, aren't you?
You're in a dance with it. That's a great way to say
it. It's not happening to you. It's happening with you.
If I take over, if I try and control what it is, it will invariably just fall apart at some stage. You know what I mean?
That's
my experience of it. So I was in and out of the rooms for years and couldn't accept it and couldn't get acceptance. But when I was on my knees then, when I came to that point I was talking about there where I was lost, I then went back to the rooms and I just felt safe. When I went into the rooms, I actually felt safe. And even now, I went into one the other night and it was just I just took a big deep breath. I was I've arrived.
Yeah.
You're sitting in a room of fellow people with the same kind of stuff. I remember going to a meeting years ago, right? I used to be a Dublin City Councillor and I was off the rails, right? And they said it to me, you know, and I went to a meeting and I thought the fella who brought me to the meeting had rang the fella that done the first share, to say, there's a fella coming in, they'll talk about this, right?
Mm.
And it's only now that I realise that didn't happen. The thing is when people talk at the meetings, I identify with it, you know? So when I identify, it nearly takes the edge off it when you say, that's not just me, you know what I mean? I'm not the person that's...
Jesus Christ, it does,
and course. That's kind of a space that we're naturally creating in these podcasts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because there's people listening in going, I'm not crazy. Or maybe I am a bit crazy, but we're all a bit crazy.
Yeah, and that's okay. And to be honest, it's going to, to get you over the line, it's going to take a bit of fucking crazy. You're going to have to be, you know what I mean? You're going to have a fucking jumper cable to be our arse the odd time. It's just the way it goes. You don't get to get away with it. Do you get what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
You know, you're traversing life. It's a heady one, bro. So, if you're going on a heady buzz, settle into that, bro. You know what I mean? Because that's you don't get to get away with that, bro. You know what I mean? And, the measure of a pendulum swing in one direction is its measure of a swing in the other. So, I went, pitch black, dark, and I thought it was nuts. I thought I was at the lowest. I thought I never even had a mind to lose in the first place. I thought it was I got born back the front, and that's that. That's not actually true, bro. It's just, you're on a downward tone, and you have to go on a downward tone because it gives you the, it's the springing of a coil.
There's balance to be found if you're willing to have that honest conversation with yourself.
Yeah, it's a tough one to have.
It is. It's good. Yeah. It's good. I say to people, were you expecting fantasy? Were you expecting where all your dreams come true?
Yeah.
Because if you want that, just get out of your head all the time.
Yeah.
All the time, all the time, all the time, and be high all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And rip off your family and fucking just rob and just like just live purely for your base instincts and life will be fantastic.
Absolutely.
100%.
But there are loads of people living that sad existence, right, who think this is it, like, you know, and they don't even know. Like, when I was in the middle of my worst time with drink, people were saying to me, you're drinking very heavily. And I'd be like laughing it off saying, ah, sure, I'm Irish. I'm, you know, all that kind of stuff.
There's no part-timers in this, Gav. Do you know what I mean?
And then the other thing, like, I'd be justifying it in my head saying, you're in work listening to all this mad shit. And now you deserve a break. You deserve a drink at the end of the night.
Let the fuck a bit of steam out of the kettle before it bursts.
There's something you said there, Jonathan. You said about getting over the line. For me, there's no line. I'm just saying that. I'm not trying to reach a place. I'm not trying to, what's the talking head song? There must be a place. I'm not trying to reach over a line. And that was what I was always at. I was always trying to reach what he's talking about.
Yeah.
This fantasy of whatever, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You said this other thing then about like the pendulum, the dark swinging in, and it,
yeah, it's all one. People think it's different. It's all the same.
And that's the yin and the yang.
Yeah, it's all the same shit.
Dean said something last week. We had Jimmy Judge on last week. He was saying about being in the darkness, right? Because I go into the darkness still, but I have a choice now.
Yeah.
I don't just go into the off license and buy load of drink and come back to the gaff and crack them open and watch.
Yeah, and stew in it.
And dive
and submerge yourself. You don't. Darkness is the preparation of light, and when that penny drops, you're like, when you are getting bent over the bar, you're like, I know what's coming. I know what's coming is better than what's here for me now.
The real dark point for me then is where I haven't even made that turn.
Mm.
So at the minute, I'm okay. I remember coming out of a meeting one night and a fella said
to me,
he said, how are you, Ray? And I said, I'm okay. And I was just like, you know that? I'm okay. And he said to me, I'll have okay any day. And I was like, what am I looking for? Like what Dean is saying, what am I looking for? Am I looking for the fantasy of that I'm going to be happy, 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 lollipops and bubbles? Is that what I'm looking for?
You're in the wrong business.
Okay is grand. And even
it's fucking good to go.
What's Kieran's song? It's okay, it's okay. I didn't know that. And I didn't know where I am now is deadly, right? Because I will probably swing into that dark space again.
Yeah.
I know now from the last time I was in it, which was recently, I talked about it. So I went to meetings and I spoke about it.
Yeah,
and I said,
I
am in this. But now, you'd meet me, right?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, how are you? How's it going? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I'd tell you four jokes, a funny story, and then you'd go in and they'd be listening to me going, I'm in a dark place.
Yeah,
they're looking at me going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So
that's a lovely little surprise, though, Sparky. You know what I mean? Like, there's layers.
Yeah, there is layers. But
I love that.
Like, I remember listening to Robin Williams talking about it, you know, and he was the first, for me, who ever spoke about it, right?
He spoke about the darkness.
Yeah. I come from a very funny family, like, you know, we're all having a laugh and it's all slinging and cracking. It's amazing. Like, and even my dad had to go in for a procedure the other day, and the slagging coming out of the hospital is brilliant. That's the thing.
It's at them points when the slaggings are fucking deadly.
When the
pressure's up to 11, that's when the slaggings are shit hot.
Yeah, look, we went for a sauna the other day, and you know, one of the lads, I was saying, you have the same sense of humour as your ma. And he goes, well, my ma's no sense of humour now, which is dead. Okay, I get that. Right? But them, you know, that kind of stuff. And then,
yeah, people don't get that when they're not from the spot.
One of the ways that you manage it, one of the ways that you talk about it is the music.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for the moment. There might be, you know, other stuff down the line, and I'm sure there is, you know, film, photography, whatever. But at the moment,
I like all that stuff. Yeah.
At the moment, it's the music, and you've taken us on a journey.
Thank you.
Through a part of like a little window, a little Overton window into your life.
Mm.
Me and Sparky would have known you from when you were a kid. You lived on the same balcony.
You lived in the landing across from me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For the listener, I'm not sure how many of these chats you do, but bring us back.
Yeah, like, my childhood was like, and like, I don't want to upset anyone, because like, in making that art that I made, it was selfish for me to do, because like I heard some people who were very close to me, because I was, as far as I was concerned, I was just being barefaced. Do you get what I mean? And that hurt some people who I didn't want to hurt. Do you get what I mean? And like people that I love. It was hot and it was cold. Now, like, again, I've thought about this a lot then, yeah? And like, I remember growing up right saying, oh, I'm lucky, I'm lucky, I'm lucky, I'm so lucky, right? But it's like, then I doubled back, right? And I was like, okay. I always had food. My ma always had me in, like, lovely tracksuits. Do you get what I mean? Christmas, my ma spoiled me. Do you get what I mean? Joe, done his best as well. Like, that went how that went. I'd like to patch things up with him maybe at some point. Do you get what I mean? I had so much to be very grateful for. I had my baby sister. But it was hot and cold, because like there was always like just violence, like just violence, and like not just violence, but like just like psychological warfare and all of these like my pitfalls. And it was like a lot for me to try and like digest, because I was so you know me as a child, I was so sensitive. Do you get what I mean? So sensitive, and I was a very, very sweet boy. And it just like, it felt like there was no room for that. Do you get what I mean? So like I had to like figure out a different way of going on. I had to figure out a different way of talking, a different way of walking, a different way of like looking at the world. And like, still I was like, I'm lucky, but I'm like, right, I've seen some things that like, I've seen some things that are fairly fucked up, like, do you get what I mean? I've seen some things that are fairly fucked up, and like things that I still think about and all, yeah. And then I'd listen to such and such a story, say from my kitchen table, you know, maybe like, I won't even go into it, but I'm like, oh well, fucking hell, at least that never happened to me. And I remember like thinking that was luck. That's not luck, bro. Like, if you're in like a dysfunctional house, right, or if there's like domestic violence happening, or if there's drugs, or if there's whatever, right, in your house, but you're in like an actual little village where there's like an actual community, you know what I mean? Like one of the dads is like in charge of the GAA team, maybe he's have like some sort of a spiritual practice that he's engaging in once a week. That's not harmful. Like, obviously we got fucking the short end of the stick with the Catholic Church, but like something that maybe is a bit more workable. And then you have like a school system that's not like crushing for people. Do you get what I mean? And like maybe there's a bit of work to do as well. And he's living a kind of like a simpler life. If your gap is fucked up and you go outside and like you know straight away when you go next door, you're like, oh, my house is just fucked up, and that's fine. And there's actually another way going on. But it's like, you know what it's like. Like every gaff boy is nearly, do you get what I mean? Like every single house, every single young man's life, it's like, it's steeped in this like really, really particular shade. Do you get what I mean? It's coloured in this really, really, really particular way. And then it's like, then you might talk to me, yeah? And you were talking to me, maybe like, I remember being young, like 6, 7, 8, and I'd be talking to other people and I'd be like, oh, is this normal? They'd be like, yeah, that's normal. Only when I got out of Ballymun, took me years, right? When talking to them, and they're like, that's fucking insane. And I was like, oh, right, fair enough. So actually, we're all a bit like banjaxed. So like, yeah, I don't know if that's luck. I don't know if you can call that luck.
Your reference point for normality was steeped in poverty and chaos and addiction.
Yeah, well, the poverty thing I'd dispute, because as I said, like, well, well looked after. Like, obviously there was maybe, you know, some people probably had to cry at Christmas time because they didn't know how things are going to happen, but it happened every year.
Poverty is not just around money and poverty. You mentioned loads of things there. You mentioned education. So there's a poverty of education in this area, like, you know. Now, we have great schools in this area. We have great people in this area who really want to educate young people. And I think that, again, has changed. That has went really, really positive now, you know, like in the local camp and all that kind of stuff. The commitment to young people is savage, brilliantly, you know. And I'm not saying it wasn't like that before, but the resources weren't there to back that up. And the other thing that you were talking about there, right, so this is what I think you're saying. You're saying our gaff was nuts, the gaff next door was nuts, the gaff across the road was nuts, the gaff here was nuts. Okay, so I get that, right? So when I was growing up, our gaff was nuts, okay? And I remember going up and sitting on the doorstep. We were playing something with a mate. I was in a marching band, you know. That was the youth club, the first thing I was in, you know. Yeah. And I met this lad and I went up and we were playing on the doorstep and I heard his man having a scrap.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah, and I was just like, and the feeling of, thank God, that just doesn't only happen in my house. So
yeah, yeah.
So I get that, right? And, yeah, you know, yeah. I don't know what normal is, because true recovery, right? Like, I was in a room one time and a woman came in. She stepped over Merrick that you could have lived, you know, it was like the size of a camper van, right? She stepped over Merrick. She was head to toe in designer gear and sat down, and exact same malady as me, like the exact same, like, you know, I think as a human race, I think we struggle. I think there's a struggle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
I think.
No, that's the thing, yeah, definitely.
Look, I used to see American TV and you'd see all these kids with white teeth and fucking, you know. And
oh,
then,
stop, bro. Yeah, you had to be fucking wrecked with the guns.
I want to live in America.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But then you read that they were all fucking part of Hollywood. They were all bleeding, being
raped, molested, the most disgusting things that were subjected to, like, is, you know what I mean? And so, all the money in the world is not going to fix that.
So the fantasy, I think there's a thing about fantasy. And I have to, like, I'm 55 years of age and I still have fantasy. And I was even out, I was out the other night walking the dogs, you know. The fantasy was of being in a band, right? That was the fantasy, you know, being in a band and how that would be. And I'm saying to myself, is this okay that I'm 55 years of age and I'm thinking, you know, stepping off the stage and somebody throws me a towel and I'm saying, you know, whatever the fantasy, people probably listen to this going, that fella's off the banana.
Nah, man.
The truth is that I still, like, when I'm at a play, I want to be on the stage. I want to be part of that, like, you know what I mean? And that's the fantasy, right?
Well, Sparky, you're more than welcome on stage with me anytime you're
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. Loads of room on that stage.
He is a shiha singer.
Sparky, we'll have to get you up
MC,
for
MC, guitar player.
Yeah.
He undersells himself. He is amazing.
Sparky, there's always room for you, bro.
He outshone a mate of ours in this theatre a couple of years ago, David MC was on doing, and he was trying out a whole new the Irish songbook.
Yeah,
and he was a bit nervous with it and all that. Yeah. And then Sparky just jumped up on stage and the crowd were like, holy fuck, who's the tornado?
Do you ever listen to Customato? He said that, basically, confidence can make shite a genius. On a given me.
Yeah, well, that was Johnny Confidence over there. He doesn't always have it, but this moment he did.
He is a master craftsman. Like, I've never
fantastic. He is.
I've never once heard him sing bad.
I'd love to meet him, boys. I'm listening to him since, like, he's one of the first musicians I really, like, became attached to, you know what I mean?
I send him some of your stuff. So I would send myself and Sparky would send him Kieran Moore and Maverick, Killian Keaton. There's loads of them. We would send them on and he would know you're out there and he would know where you're at and he'll give you a show at the right time.
I was on to work with them.
Where you're going, you're going to work with them all.
Yeah, hopefully.
And they're going to work with you because what you're doing, what you have found, what you've tapped into is love, is art.
Yeah, that's what creativity. I'm hoping for that, because I do believe that, like, that creativity leads me back to, like, love and forgiveness always. It's sometimes the way I get there might be a bit aggro. Sometimes the way I get there might be a bit, like, self-pitying. Sometimes it might be danceable, you might want to shake your hole, your hole might be leaking, you know what I mean? It's whatever it takes me to get there, but it always leads me back to that place.
You're allowing yourself the whole recipe, all the ingredients.
Oh, big time.
You're not going, the spicy stuff, I'm not into that, or the savoury stuff, or the sweet stuff. No. You're going, give us it all.
Oh, yeah, please.
And if I don't have it, I'm going to invite someone on stage who might have it.
Oh, fucking of course. Yeah, no, I just, there's not music I don't have a rich love for. Like, I don't just have, like, a passing interest in, like, different types of music. I want to get in there. Like, I want to understand, like, the language, how they would even speak to each other on stage, or, like, why I was going through tapes, and, like, just it's something that's very, very, very important to me. Like, it's special to me to be able to, like, convey something that's, like, eclectic but sincerely authentic. I think that's, like, a spectacular thing to body yourself with, you know what I mean?
So this conversation in 50 years time, people will listen back to what age you know?
I'm 23, just gone.
So you'll be 73 years of age and your whole career,
praise be to God,
happened.
Mm-hmm.
And people will be listening back to this.
Or happening.
Yeah, who knows?
People will be listening back to this and they're going to hear a 23-year-old fat boy talk about how the musical journey started.
Yeah.
So bring us on that journey.
I knew from the minute I opened my eyes, I was going to be a singer. I knew when I started singing that I was going to need to learn guitar. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, right, we're going to have to. Well, I started with drums. Remember, I used to teach drums and all. And even my first band, I would have taught the drummer and drums because it just came out of me. I just started drumming and I was like, okay, let me follow this down. I was actually, and I never ever told anyone about anyone this because, like, it was hard enough. Like, I was black sheep as it was, so I didn't need anything extra, you know what I mean? So I was in a marching band from when I was really, really small.
Yeah, so was I, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was a marching. What did you play?
Trumpet.
Yeah, I was a. Joe was actually a trumpet player. My dad was actually a trumpet player. So was my sister. And fucking...
And where did he learn the trumpet?
He learned the trumpet in Dublin All-Stars Marching Band. I was the Dublin All-Stars Marching Band when I was a child.
That is deadly.
Yeah, yeah. So I was really, really, I had a natural knack for it.
Yeah.
So by the time I was 12, 13, I was teaching 31-year-olds, 32-year-olds, because I had a really, really I just knew what I wanted. I just came out knowing what I wanted. And I remember looking at the stage, even just karaoke, you know, maybe you'll be out for karaoke, or I'd see a stage somewhere and I would see someone on stage. Even this is as early as maybe you only learned to walk the week before, and now I'm looking at the stage and I'm I feel like I should be there. I feel like I should be there. I feel like that's where I belong.
I've heard this before with people who, and I resonate with it, because my dad was an MC in the local pub.
Mm.
You know, he got up in the mic and he'd slag people. He'd call people up to sing. My dad can't sing. He doesn't sing. He sings in the gaff, but he doesn't really sing. So I was watching this all my life. I watched him push the comedy, I suppose, which was pub comedy. He would push it right to the edge. Relax here, you know.
But,
so I have that in me, because even working with young people, I'll push it. I'll push it a little bit. I'll push it. And they'd be, you know, and they'd be saying, Sparky, you're going too far. relax. And it'll work. The stage, David Gray spoke about it, right? He said that in church, or it was but there was a raised platform, and he said, I used to just get up on it.
That's what I mean,
He would just say, I'd look around, and I get that, because we have a stage in work, and I love being on it. I actually love standing on it. I actually feel what you're talking about, I think I have something to give, you know what I mean? And I think that's what it is, and I think spiritually, people who are poets, actors, singers, all types of performers, right? Spiritually, we have something that we want to pass on.
Yeah.
I think we're conduits, and the stage...
Oh, 100%.
The stage is part of the conduit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's a, what's the word, like a conductor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A conductor of electricity, like an altar.
A conduit. And they're all electrical kind of things, aren't they?
That's Nikola Tesla.
Make me a channel of your peace. That reminds me of that, because it is an altar. You are a priest. You are a shaman. You are an artist.
Not all that stuff is wrong, Dean.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying it's wrong.
I'm celebrating the fact that space, we hold it in high regard.
Mm.
That's why it's high.
Mm.
We have a special place for that.
Yeah.
When we see it and it's truth and it's honesty and it's love, it resonates with us immediately.
Yeah, big time.
Like Nikola Tesla, like you were going to say.
Bro, energy and frequency. You said that, Nikola Tesla, I love, I was really, really, really nerdy as a child. Science was so it was music and science, there were my two loves, and maths and stuff like that. So I bought a few maths books over the weekend because I just like to do sums.
I have a book for you at home.
Yeah, yeah, man, 100% hook me up. Or you would just be, I was addicted to maths. I couldn't do enough maths. Do you get what I mean? Talking about science, I'd have to go to the science fair every year. I'd have to, you know, I'm always reading into different things and just fucking mad about it. And then Nikola Tesla, bro, he's another one, because it's when you start kind of going down this route that we're after going down, you know, you're talking about the soul and the spirit and stuff like that, and especially when you drop the big G-O-D bomb, people don't say that, you know what I mean? But what you said was, and this is the greatest moment probably the last fucking 200 years, at least in a recent memory, he said that when I first got into science, I didn't believe there was a God. The more I got into the science, you cannot deny that there's a God. And he also said that if we stopped thinking in terms of physical phenomena and started thinking in terms of energy and frequency, we would make more progress in the next 10 years than we've made in the last 1,000.
What I'm saying to you there, Dean, is, right, I grew up with that Catholic Church thing and make me a channel of your peace and all that kind of stuff, right? And there was goodness in that.
Yeah,
right?
definitely.
There was definitely goodness in that. And I remember when myself and Dean were starting up the U Club, or maybe starting the U Club, there was people involved who were heavy whack Catholics, you know, and they used to bring up catechisms, you know. Catechisms were going out at this stage. It was all these things who is God? God is blah, 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 all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the dogma was that you were taught this particular thing here is God, right?
Yeah.
So then I was watching a YouTube video. There's a guy who talks about God and talks about, and he basically says that God is bigger than the universe, bigger than God, the one that we learned about, bigger than Buddha, bigger than, you know, it's bigger, it's bigger, it's bigger. And that's how I feel it. So I used to have resentments against Protestants, resentments against different religions that were different. I had resentments against difference in general until I let go of that. So now, you know, when I hear, make me a channel of your peace, I have a little lean into it. And I think, what's that about? But then also when I hear stuff from the Quran, we thought the Quran and Muslim and all that kind of stuff is wrong. We were told that that was wrong.
Yeah.
And then when you actually lean into it, when you discuss it or, you know, whatever, you find out four or five of the books in the Quran are the exact same as the books that's in the Bible, yeah, you know? So then you kind of go, oh, hold on a second, this is connected, right? They were talking about the same God.
Yeah.
But just they just had a different, it's like somebody saying, Bob Marley is reggae. And then UB40 saying, no, what we're doing is reggae. And then somebody else, you know, Born in Spirit, this is reggae. People have their own interpretations of stuff. I remember Glenn saying on the stage years ago, he said, music is not a sport. When I grew up, I was a punk. There was people who were mods. There was people who were scars.
There was different cultures back in the day. It's all a bit homogenized now. I love people who are mad expressive. Staunch. I love people like that. People with conviction.
Or convictions.
Well, them too, but like the kill kind. The kill convictions.
Welcome to the stage and the convictions.
And the convictions. Yeah. That's a name. Yeah.
So you're talking about, you know, looking past the solid stuff, looking past the Protestant, Catholic, Muslim.
Try to get over that.
We're kind of sold that. We're sold the fantasy. We're sold the materialism, the car, the sex, the American dream.
Yeah, fucking hell, bro. It has us in bad old state, it does.
Some stuff, naturally, the resonance of it, the frequency of it, cuts through that and cuts into the essence of who you are as a soul, as a human.
Mm.
In your formative years, who are those people?
Musically?
Or sonically, or whatever?
Like, Francis Bacon's paintings, for me, were, like, really, really, really important and really special. And, like, the fact that he was, like, the debaucherous, asthma-ridden lunatic, it just resonated. I was like, I know exactly what you mean, Francis. You know what I mean? 100%. And he was fucking brutally bit by his own lad as well. And the art that came from as well. He wasn't classically trained. Obviously, I wasn't myself. Do you get what I mean? So it's all just like, there's a lot of risk in them paintings, and that really resonated with me. But like, if you want to go back to like before that, to like the stuff that like got to me first, like Bob Marley was huge, Johnny Cash was huge. Like I'm talking about, you start talking 1 week and then the next week you're singing Bob Marley songs and you're singing Johnny Cash songs, and then Eminem as well, to be fair. I kind of have like a bit of a complicated relationship with Eminem at the minute, because I wonder like how many seeds of dysfunction did he sow in my life just by expressing himself. But I still think it's like, you know, people want to absolve the responsibility. He was expressing himself and it resonated with a lot of people, because a lot of people have fucked up lives. But then I think as well, like maybe being 2, 3, 4 years old and like kind of soaking all that in, I wonder if it helped or if it hurt.
But if it's the truth,
but you know something, for a 4-year-old, for a 5-year-old, for a 6-year-old, for a 7-year-old,
it's like Grand Theft Auto. You're not going to
the truth doesn't matter. You know, there's like this tiny little bit, because say life is this long, there's about 2 seconds there where the truth, it's actually not important.
That's what I'm saying. Those formative years,
it's really not important, and it's much of a muchness. And look, they're going to get it eventually. And as well for me, like I was getting a lot of truth in anyway.
Well, you have a sister who could read when she was 4 years of age, right?
Yeah.
And you could have discussions with her now about, you know, anything, because she would be so well read. Saying she was reading, she could read the Herald like at 4 years of age, and you're thinking she's reading about people in court for handbag snatching or something like that.
Yeah. That's a lot, you know? Yeah, man, it is, because like ultimately, like when like we're born complete, like we're born and then you learn a lot of crap and then you pass on and then you get to be full again. Do you get what I mean?
And you see,
there's a minute there, Sparky, where like you are just love and light and compassion, and when you look at the babies, you get what I mean? That baby does not want to hurt you.
No.
That baby does not have that in them. Do you get what I mean?
What's Dempsey's one? We're all born without hate.
Yeah, we're all born without hate, and like we're all born without, like, there's no confusion. People think babies are like stupid. It's like their world is easier to understand.
Little Buddhas.
But he says another one.
It's easier to understand. And it's a little distillation of the larger world. We just get away from it. That's all. Do you know what I mean? We complicate it.
He says another one. He says, when the baby cries, she has been criticized, being put down, it's passed down. So what happens to that pure baby, that baby hits the ground, right? The part of a family, the part of a community, the part of a country, the part of a culture.
Yeah.
So I read in one of your interviews, like you were saying about that Dublin is ruined, you know?
I do think they are, man. I do think they are. I do think that they're trying to bludgeon it, you know what I mean?
Who's they?
The powers that be, lad. And I won't even take a back step on it. And I think as well, like Leo and Michal and stuff like that, they don't, again, remember how I was saying, like, people with conviction, they lack conviction. money's their master. And because money's their master, like, the countries become sick.
I was thinking...
When, Dublin in particular.
When I was reading it, right, because I grew up in the 80s of Dublin, and Dublin was a shithole, right? It was completely... All the Georgian stuff, they just let it fall, right? Yeah. They didn't do anything with it. They built on Wood Quay, right? Which was like the beginning of the city. They built two bunkers. There was monstrosities, and they let it happen. People protested, and people said, and they built the grit of determination to build this shit heap, right? I was listening to that at the time, you know, Dublin in the rare old times, you know.
Yeah.
In my memory, I will always see, you know, it's a narrative that happens to us. So for me, the Dublin.
It's a good point.
The Dublin that I had, that I wished for, is gone, right? And then there was these people giving out about, oh, Dublin's gone and blah, 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 blah. And they were saying, and they were putting up pictures on Facebook of Dublin in the 50s and all that kind of stuff. And I wrote, imagine what the farmer thought when the Vikings start building their thing, right? Giving out, saying it wasn't like the way it used to be.
Yeah.
You talk about science, and science to me is linked to technology, right? If we avoid technology, if we avoid progress, right? Yeah. Now, I don't know what progress is, because your progress might be different to my progress.
Yeah.
Like, I walked down through the financial services one time, and I just felt, well, you don't feel part of this. This is not nothing to do with me. I don't
feel any.
I don't resonate with any of this, right?
Mm.
So the 13-year-olds who are jumping off those buildings into the Liffey, they do, because that's their playground. That's their thing. So when that gets taken away on them in 20 years' time, when they knock down the wall that they jump off to put in a coffee shop or something like that, they'll say, Dublin's not the same, you know? And I just think we have an affection for the city. We have an affection for where we grew up. And I mean, you grew up in the flats. I lived in the flats, but I don't have a connection with the flats, because I tried to have a connection with the now, and I tried to stay in this time. Now, believe me, I'm all the time saying, I remember this and remember that. It's part of the journey that we look back and go, it's not the same as it was, you know? Mm. Whereas I think if we can lean into the now and go, what can I take from that? And I mean, you do it all the time. Like, I mean, your music is savage, like, you know
Thank
what I mean?
It's, no, yeah, it's amazing. Kinda.
And I had a memory of on Halloween in Ballymun, we have another world festival.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours, Daniel, wanted me to come down to see your band. They were the Innocents, were they?
Yeah.
And he was he was determined that I would come down and see us. And I knew your man, I knew your uncles and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't know you.
Yeah.
And I didn't know your music, like, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember standing in the tent and just being blown away by the intensity, the richness
of
your music. And when that happens, when you have a spiritual moment in music and you're caught by it, it's amazing. And then it happens in your hometown, and it happens with people from your hometown, and you get that sense, you know, that we get this pride thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
no,
like
100%.
Up the parish. Like,
yeah,
you know,
but no, but that's
they're
it,
out
though.
Hauling.
That's what it is. And that's a beautiful thing. And like, I think, like, see, like, to follow on from what you're saying, that's part of the journey. From like a spiritual point of view and like an emotional maturity point of view, I love that outlook. I think my issue lies specifically with the fact that like we don't have dominion over ourselves and our own community, like in the way that I believe we once did. And I think that what I mean by that is like, remember how like Bernie used to own Daybreak up near where I live? Who owns Daybreak now? So some fella in a big leather chair spinning around looking at a lot of monitors, like something out of Matrix Project. Maybe, but probably not. But you know what I mean?
But you had a personal connection with Bernie. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right. So I get that, right?
Mm.
Our people, right, lived in crumbling tenement houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we developed a culture. We developed something that's very unique, right? So I say to people, what does it mean to be Irish? When people are talking about immigrants or talking about immigration or whatever that kind of stuff to me, I often say to them, what does it mean to be Irish? You wear the Canada Goose jacket. You follow Liverpool football.
For fuck's sake, yeah.
Okay, let's go deeper with that. Like, what essentially does it mean to be Irish? Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's a spiritual thing. I really do. I think it's a spiritual thing that we have a connection in this country, right, that is very, very spiritual. And the only reason how I kind of really got into it was when I was in Alice Springs, it's the same there. There's a spiritual connection in Alice Springs that... You know, it's a flat desert. It's a tiny town that has the cross route, you know, the streets going north to south and east to west, you know what I mean? It's not, there's nothing aesthetically nice about it, right? But in there, there's a spirit about the people, right? And it's the same here. We have this thing where our culture is tourism, you know what I mean? People are coming to meet us. People are coming here because we are a certain way, right?
So I
think the tenements came down, we went to Ballymun, we kept our culture, we kept that thing, we still have that thing. You had it, I have it. It's not got to do with the physical places where we are, where we occupy. Dean lived in Portmarnock for a while. It didn't change the essence of Dean. He's living in the countryside now. It doesn't change the essence of Dean. It's just different.
For me, it's about where you get your connection, and there's a connectedness that you're talking about with Bernie in the shop.
And even on an economic level, like, so Bernie's from Ballymun. That's money getting spent by people who live in Ballymun. I lived in the flat at the time. I'd go down, me cousin be hung over, she'd send me to Daybreak to get a Chick-fil-A rolls for one I make because they're babysitting for us in the morning. Go down, spend that money in a shop owned by people living in Ballymun, and then it'd be spent, I don't know, wherever, but like, it was working. And like, when I see the way it is now, like, the ownership isn't here, and that's worrying. Even when you look at, like, remember when they like abolished slavery, and then they just strung blacks along like for years and years and years and years and years.
Still do.
They still do to this day. One of the ways that they done that is like, okay, so we're gonna put shops in. Who owned the shops? It was white shop owners. The money would be spent in the shop, and then be driven out of the suburb, whatever suburb they were in, into a white suburb, and that's where that money would then be. And I think that we're in a similar situation now because global conglomerates do own everything. And,
but they always did.
No. But this is like a different... This is a different level of it.
It's definitely intensified.
And it's undeniable. It's undeniable. And like, how centralised things are becoming should worry anyone. And like, to decentralise it completely, like, ultimately, okay, if we were to take like 10 random people, even from the Dáil in Dublin, they're in physically, like, remember what I was saying about like a physical place? They're in a similar physical place to us, not in the exact physical place, like, they're not in Ballymun, but they are in Dublin. What do they understand about any of what we've spoke about in regards to growing up? It may be in the flats, maybe in the tenements. They don't understand anything. If you go up a level again and you go to like the EU, or if you go up a level again, like, I used to be the Catholic Church, so they've signed us out to the Catholic Church. What in the absolute fuck business does the Pope have telling young people, you know, like near the glass quarry in Finglas at that time, how they should or shouldn't be lived? He has no fucking clue about any of that. He doesn't understand that. And it was an issue then, and it's an issue now. And the issue now is like, it's going to go the way that went. And that went the way the crown being here went. And it, like, it's really more similar than people think.
So their reference points or their connectedness.
They don't have a clue about you. You know me ma, you know me uncle, you know me nanny. You know what I was doing when I was 15.
Yeah.
You know how I am now. I'm sitting across from you. You know.
So there's a connectiveness there, right?
So Sparky, I would trust you, right? See, like, if we were to set up, like, if I could just reimagine the whole country right now, and we say, right, Ballymun, we're going to turn that conglomerate, we're going to take that facility and we're going to turn that into Ballymun's town hall. And what that means is, if you're inside the lines of Ballymun, and we'll define that super clearly, do you know what I mean? Like, not like hard border, Jesus, no, but like, we're going to have Ballymun be its own thing. Sparky, you're in charge. I have no issues. I trust you.
There was a place called Marsh Farm in London that basically did that. It was overrun with drugs and overrun with criminality, and it was a no-go area. So they blocked off the roads going into it. The locals did, and they took it over, and they didn't say all drugs are gone, because they realised that people had a connection with drugs. They went with everybody and said, right, everybody here lives here, right, and let's try and change it. But it became too socialist or too communist for the Brits. There was a little communist stranghold in the middle of London, you know, and they bought them out, you know, and that's what happened. So, and I was involved in politics, Jonathan, and I was in there, but I was a tiny thumbtack.
Of course. You're never going to be able to stand up to that.
Dean says it's the agreement, you know what I mean? But the young fella from Finglas at the quarry, he hasn't made an agreement, but he did listen to Eminem when he was four. We're all the time learning and picking up nuances, like, you know what I mean? And picking up different things.
Getting
signaled that. And then, you know, like, while I was sitting here waiting for you to come in, I was looking at a march against a migrant centre somewhere, and it was a huge, big march of people. And I'm looking at it going, how has this happened? Like, you know what I mean? How are these people following this rhetoric, right? When our own people are scattered to the four corners of the world, Irish immigrants who are illegals in America, in Australia, and everywhere, right? Why don't people think outside the box a bit, like, you know what I mean? And you're right, we're getting signaled. Like,
we had a criminologist on, she used the phrase primed. So we get primed. The music that primed you, the Francis Bacon that primed you, the Tesla, you were primed in a different way. Maybe that's the stuff that you saw out or somebody introduced you to it. I don't know who it was. Who in your circle, in the people you were connected with, introduced you to that stuff? Those seeds, some of them planted and some of them germinated, and they have you in this room now with an album done and with aspirations and ambitions to go off and do other stuff.
Yeah, I will say this to Joe, that like he'll play concerts on the telly, and like he would get genuinely shout out, and he made me sit there and he made me watch, like, do you get what I mean? He made me watch and be like, do you see that, how they're doing that? Or do you see like this guitar player or this bassist or whatever? Joe always wanted to be a musician. Like, he always wanted to learn, but like the same way I learned. But he just, he didn't follow through with it, but he was like enamoured, and like he nearly, like, it was nearly idolatry, do you get what I mean? Like, what was going on in the house at the time. So I'll give Joe his props there.
The goal for me is I want to see the Fresh Batch global. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are tuning in. You know, we're getting messages back from Venezuela saying, oh, I loved, you know,
I delete Brick, them ones.
Brick Nasty. Brick Nasty was so good. You know, that's what, in my fantasy, right, if that's what you want, what I want, right? But I am really, really happy with where it's at.
Yeah, you man, know, you because, have a great setup,
No, well, it's just, it's simple. It's three mics. It's, you know, the people that we want on. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to do. And now here's an ad for Munchies, you know, something like that, you know. And it's not even fuck that. I mean, if that, I exist in that world, you know, you know, you hear people saying, you know, oh, I don't go to Tesco's or I don't do this. We are systematically immersed in capitalism up to our nose, right? In every single thing we do, all our clothes, everything, it's absolutely, we're steeped in it, right? And the only way I think that you could not be steeped in it is to go and live as a hermit somewhere. But even when you do that, you're part of a country. You're in, you know, you're still part of it. It's just, and that's what I was saying to you. When you were saying the baby is born beautiful and then the baby's on the ground, well, then we become part of. When Dean was asking you that question about bacon, right? Daniel's dad was a big bacon fan. Like, huge. Yeah.
That's how me and Donald bonded. Like, me and Donald bonded over all of that
stuff. Bacon. And bacon, Francis Bacon was an amazing, amazing person. Like, and yet, frightening to me as well, you know. And I seen there was a film. Yeah, did you see the film?
It was a real dark streak. I've watched a lot of documentaries. I've never watched the film. Was that film?
Bro, get the film. So there's a frightening part of his nature.
Yeah, yeah, you know? I love that.
But Adam Clayton made a documentary recently on RTE about his formative years. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It was only in the last 6 months. As people were saying, people thought he was just self-taught, or people thought.
But then they found the sketches, and he'd actually been self-narrativizing.
Absolutely.
It makes me love him even more, because it's like that. Then that was like the canvas. Over the canvas. That was the you know what I mean? The overture of it all. It's like, so he would paint on the with the brush, but he was painting in his very way that he would carry himself. I love that about him. Like, he would always be like, oh, I don't sketch. Everything I do is total by chance. I'd take a stroke of the brush and like whatever way it goes. And then after we croaked it, then they found a heap of his sketchbooks. And then that just adds another level to his art. People say it take away. I don't think it takes away.
Not at all. Was the art of bullshit?
He was performing. Yeah. The painting had followed him off the thing, because he's like, this is the dance that he was doing. And like, that's even with like Brick Nasty. Like, I like that as well, because even like, see in a Crayola, and even like, do you like To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar?
Yes.
Yeah, To Pimp a Butterfly. That's my favourite album probably, right? I didn't lie once on that EP. However, it is a performance of a truth. It is not the actual reality. The actual reality, it's not so colourful.
Bro, you're wearing the fucking balaclava.
Yeah.
You're performing.
So, yeah.
And I find that really interesting, because we were chatting last week with Jimmy, who's a psychotherapist, and we were talking about masks and layers. And loads of Irish people wear masks.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Balaclavas.
Yeah.
Blind Boy.
Yeah.
Adam Spice Bag.
Yeah, Spice Bag. And then fucking who?
Kneecap.
And what's the other fit? Mr. Chrome as well.
The IRA.
Dustin the Turk.
Love them boys. They're doing super work the last fucking few years.
Up the rat.
Up the rat.
What about Dustin the Turkey? The guy who does Dustin the Turkey is this real quiet guy, unassuming guy who knocks around RTE. Well, he did. He's not there anymore. But he knocked around RTE saying nothing to nobody. And the minute he went into that character, Dustin the Turkey came alive. And they were all like, he was slagging everybody off and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he had good health slagging, didn't he? 100%.
Yeah.
So that, you want to be cute enough.
Let's go back to bacon. Bob Dylan said the same thing. They'd say to Bob Dylan, where did you come from? I'm from Minnesota. And he wasn't. He was from somewhere completely different.
Yeah, but it's
and
the dance
created
he's doing.
Dance.
Yeah,
he created dance.
Yeah.
And I love that.
So the reason I brought up the masks and it's relative to bacon is in wrestling.
Yeah.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
The masks.
Yeah, the Lucha Libres.
That has an Irish origin.
Does it, yeah?
Yeah. There was no an way. Irish fella went, I'm going to get in here, sort this out, make a few quid. And he had a balaclava with him.
Yeah,
he stuck
the
balaclava on and got in the ring.
No way.
And done the dance.
Swear.
And they adopted it. Adapted the whole thing. And that's why they wear masks. And I think it's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, that's fucking brilliant then.
Because your stuff is a reveal of life, of the love, of the pain, of the trauma, of all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But you kind of have a layer over to protect people and to protect yourself a little bit.
Oh, bro, yeah, no, it's definitely more for me than it is for them, you know what I mean? Like, it's for them as well. I mean, when I started doing, like, Brick Nasty, I was really, really overweight. Like this time 3 years ago, I was, like, nearly 20 stone.
Hence the name Fat Boy.
Yeah, yeah, at the time. And then I even had it in my head, like, it's going to be really funny now, like, because I still want to be called Fat Boy, even when I'm in Top Nick, like, you know what I mean? It's like, I had my uncle Fatty, you know Fatty Farrell? Fatty Farrell is my uncle. And I love the way everyone calls him Fatty, even though he's, like, just stacked. I was like, that is so good. And I love Fight, bro. I have so much time for Fight. But fucking, I think that that's really funny. But at the time, it would have broken my heart to like pour myself into, you know, like really, really, like my favourite R&B music I was trying to make, My favourite R&B music, my favourite song music, not to put labels on it, but like I wanted people to like really, really, really like conflate me with Glassbar and like D'Angelo and all of them, do you get what I mean? So it would have broken my heart at the end of listening if they had looked at me and seen just like some fat fella from Ballymun. That would have upset me. So I was like, wait, let me wear that mask. And then like the more kind of where we done, people talk about me, I hear stories about myself all the time. And I'm like, well, if I knew that they had my face in their heart when they were saying them awful things about me, that would really, really hurt.
That's deadly.
But because they don't.
That's savage.
There's no actual, like, there's nothing in it, because I'm like, you couldn't even know me if you tried to know me, because there's that, like, you know what I mean? You're there. I'll keep you there forever.
We sat with JD years ago. Somebody gave us a tape of an album and it was Screamadelica, right? Scottish man.
Primal Scream.
And we thought it was a different band. We had this idea. We just don't know why we thought it was this other band. When I was a kid, I used to wander into the Hugh Lane
Gallery. Oh, fuck.
You used to just wander in.
Bro,
right?
I used to literally be up there every other day. Like,
and just staring at paintings and connecting with them, right?
Yeah,
and just
really
getting real emotional.
Resonant, yeah, definitely.
And one of the years, myself and JD went to New York and he kept saying to us, we need to go up to the Mall. So we went up and we walked in and there was, you know, the splash painting guy?
Yeah, 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 Jackson Pollock.
So Jackson Pollock, JD was mad into Jackson Pollock at the time.
Yeah, Jackson never landed with me, but I understand.
Walking through the gallery, right, and there's Warhols and there's all different kinds of stuff and I'm going around. And next thing, we turn the corner and there's a Pollock a bit bigger than that wall, right? And I burst into tears.
Really?
Burst into tears. And just it was black and white.
Yeah,
it was black and white, but the splash.
But it jabbed you. You got jabbed. Yeah, yeah. I love when you get jabbed. Do you know when you're like, in the liver. Oh, fuck.
So
you got me.
Not many people in Ballymun are looking at Francis Bacon, right? Now, there are.
Yeah,
I mean, there's loads of different people. Where did you get jabbed? Because for me, right, as this really strange kid, right, from Coolock, I was growing up in Coolock.
Yeah.
And I was into all this mad stuff, right? I was into, I'd be listening to jazz and all that kind of stuff and getting it, right? And people would be like, what are you fucking listening to?
Yeah, man? I was never let on the speakers.
No,
I was never let near the speaker. So, everyone would be saying, Johnny's not going near that speaker when we're out.
We'd be at parties and I'd be taking out albums and playing mad stuff. And you're a bit like me in that sense, you know, you got jabbed, you know, and you connected with Bacon, you connected with Eminem, you connected with different stuff. Like, I mean, and I don't think that it's wrong that you connected with Eminem when you were four. It just happened.
Yeah.
Any other kid at 4 years of age, you would have played Eminem. They would have went over and pressed stop. They would have taken out the cassette and put in Barney and went da-da-da-da-da, whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
Barney
that wasn't.
So you weren't that kid.
Nah, man, fuck that. And even like, see the Wiggles, because me and my sister are basically the same age, what I realised. Like, there's actually not much between us. Like, it felt like a lot at the time.
Irish twins.
Yeah, basically. And, she'd be wanting to listen to like the Wiggles and all, and I used to I'd love to fucking kill the Wiggles, man. Do you get what I mean? Like, I'd be watching the Wiggles on telly.
I have no idea what the Wiggles is.
The Wiggles is
go
like
there,
they're like yellow, like they wear like one of them's wearing yellow, one of them's wearing pink, and they come on, and they go, "This shape is a triangle." I'm like, "Fuck yours," but like that's not what that's for. See the way yous are singing. Like even at four,
going,
I was like, "You don't have like that's not like." And Cloud be like wanting to watch it. And I'm like, "Bro, like." I can't understand how, like, a group, and as well, I think it registered with me even at that young age that these were grown men doing it, and that upset me more, because I was like,
but it's a performance.
I know, but I was like, no, like, boys, right, five big men singing to me about triangles, I feel patronized. And even at that age, I felt like, you know what I mean, I was like, I hate that.
And do you connect that? I connect my thing with a spirit, and I meet loads of people like me now, because in recovery there's loads of people like me that are, the, you know, very, very similar, that would have said from the beginning, I wasn't, Dean said, normal. I was like, fuck normal. Yeah. Don't like normal. I don't want anything to be normal. Me gaff's not normal. Yeah. Me fucking life isn't normal. Nothing's normal about me. And it's not that I'm going, I want to be abnormal. I kind of live in this chaotic thing. I don't want it to be as chaotic. So that's why I put the drink down, because it was very chaotic then.
Yeah.
And,
of course.
But I love the difference. And like, I would have hated the city changing. I would have wanted it to remain, because I used to hang around in the Halfpenny Market, and I used to sell CDs and bootlegs and all that kind of stuff in there in the stall. And I wanted it all to remain the same. But if it had remained the same, I think I wouldn't have even went, I wouldn't go into it now, because it wouldn't have the same resonance with me now. So I love the changes now. I love going into town now and just getting lost and wandering around. And do I think that the people who built the convention centre had foresight? No. But it's there, and it's part of the city, and we remain this unique group of people in this city with our unique accent, and that accent changes from Popo to Salog.
It literally does, Like, people think that it's all the same accent, and like, that's because you're not using your ears. Like, it's a beautifully, beautifully musical
accent. People think that music is all the same.
True. Sometimes I even think music is all the same.
Yeah. And it can be homogenized, but it also has its little intricacies. I got lost when you were explaining the mask thing and why you'd done it.
I wanted to make soulful music. I've wanted to since I was a child. That was the music I always wanted to make. I learned about like rock and roll and like all the kind of headbangery stuff when I was like a teenager. And that was kind of my way of like rebelling against my own taste, and I fell in love with it. I loved it for like the edge and like the angst of it and all, you get what I mean? But I, since I was very, very, very small, have been steeped in like Black American culture, and I've always had like such a fucking fascination with it. And like, even like, remember when it was before the last blocks got knocked down, I was like the last young kid left in the flat, so there was no one left, and there was a computer in the house. And where I used to go out and like, you know, like just doss around the tarmac or go looking, picking fucking wrestlers off the ground with one arm and like taping forks to their arms. Then all of a sudden there was no one to go and deal with that with. So there was no fun in it for me anymore. So I would just be online and I would be watching like videos, and like videos of like Tiger interviews, like, you know, obviously like mad deep into like Sway in the Morning, but like even smaller breakfast shows again, do you get what I mean? And even like Boy Better Know TV on YouTube, like, you know, watching all the lads over there in the flats, but just over in London, like Tempe T and fucking JME and Wiley. I was a fucking devout Wiley fan, do you get what I mean? That's not Black America, that's Black UK, but to me it felt the same. I just seen like black people on the computer and made it making better music than music that I was hearing at home, so I was like, oh, these have it figured out.
But you know, like in The Commitments, they say, you know, Roddy Doyle writes it and he says we're the blacks of Europe, and you know, Ballymun and the Blacks of Dublin. And I think
that's how I used to feel as well.
Well, it's the same thing. We resonate on the same frequency as them because we are from the same thing. We are from the same place. I said about poverty earlier, you know, poverty is not just poverty of money, you know, because a lot of the young people that I'm working with now, they don't have food poverty. Some do, but they don't have food poverty. They don't have education. You know, they're educated to 18 or whatever. You know, there's opportunities, there's all that kind of stuff. But there is a poverty still, and it's like a fucking black cloud sometimes hanging over.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's just a colour. It's just a colour overlays things.
Kavanagh says about the sunshine coming through the cracks, you know what I mean? And I think that's you, you know what I mean? I think,
thank you, Spike.
You know, the flower that grows, the dandelion that's growing out of the crack, right?
Yeah.
It's as deep as that. You're resonating with frequency. Fucking sound like playing don't know what it's doing, like Tesla.
No, 100%, but they want to go tip her.
When you're 4 years of age and you're roaring at the telly saying, fuck off, Teletubbies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I want Francis Bacon. What's going on here? Yeah, like, you know what I mean? I want Oscar Wilde.
I want something with a bit of, like, you make me sick, which I lack of edge. And I feel that way about a lot of music now, even still, let's get mad, like in Ireland.
So And you are making
I'm trying to.
You are making
So is that why you wear the mask, is to protect you in that?
I need that degree of separation. I'm a fucking sensitive cunt, bro. Like, I'm a sensitive.
Here's your brother.
Sensitive man. And like, do you know what I mean? And like, I feel super intensely. And like, I really do try and, like, I tough it out and I get done what I need to get done 100% of the time. But like, I don't want, there's no dominion that people are out of in my life. I don't owe them that. You get what I mean? I don't owe them that. I just want to create, and I want to create for the sake of creating. Like, I don't need the fucking the party poppers in the sitting room at the end. Like, you know, it's like, or the birthday cake. I don't need that. And I don't need people to be like, oh, this name, that name, the other name. Maybe I'll care about them more when I'm older. You know what I mean? But like, for the minute, if I can make really, really purely distilled, evocative art, if I can do that, then I will be fulfilled and I'll be able to live right. You know what I mean?
What's the first thing you created or made?
First thing, I loved drawing. So I just draw. So I would have been a drawn. Always drawn. I actually haven't drawn for myself in many, many years, but like, drawing was my first love. You know what I mean? And you know, it was funny as well, because like living in the flats, it was like, it felt like, especially when you're a young man, everything's gay. And like, especially for me, felt like every single time I fell in love with something and I went to the boys with it, they were like, guess what? What? That's gay. And I was like, fuck, you can't win. Like, do you get what I mean? So I was like, drawing's gay. And then I was like, music, singing. Oh, singing's gay as well. And then I was like, I found this like mad book. It's called Dragon Ball. It was in the Ballymun Library there. It's manga. Gay? Oh, sorry. Never mind. It's all good. You know what I mean?
That's not gay. Yeah. Football and riding boards.
Yeah. And the two things I just didn't give a fuck about. You know what I mean? I don't care. If I hadn't got to deal with art, if I hadn't got to deal with expressing myself, I just didn't give a fuck. And like, just for whatever reason, like, everyone was like, oh, that's because he likes men. I was like, you know, fuck, maybe. If that's being gay, I don't want to be straight. You know what I mean?
What was the stuff you were drawing?
Oh, always mad fucked up stuff. My ma used to be like, you can't draw stuff like that, people will worry.
We have room for fuckers like you.
Yeah, like fucking be people getting hanged and all, and like fucking mad, like monsters eating people, and like just, but like real detailed. Like I was mad into like shading, proportion. Like, I had a really like advanced understanding of it out of the gate, because I just like, on my spoons, like I just sponge things up. That's the same, you know, like maths, English I was really strong at as well. Like, I was in like, we did like a test. I was in like the top 1 or 2% in the country or something for maths and English. So I just sponge things up. Like, I just see, like, if I'm saying something, I just do it. And I without knowing, I was like thinking about like perspective and depth and like all of these sort of things. I look back on it now, I'm like, yeah, I had a lot of that going on.
I was in school with a guy who used to do those drawings that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And they were really descriptive and, you know, it was all dark, like, you know. And
yeah. Yeah, I didn't have much interest in the sunshine and the boards and all that crack. I just didn't care about it.
And they used to say the same to him, you know, don't be doing that, you know, because people would be watching. They might think you're a bit.
Yeah.
You know, that guy's a very successful guy, like, you know. And
yeah.
He was expressing himself and you were expressing yourself, and the music is an expression of you. If we can express ourselves in some way.
Yeah, that's a very high thing to do. That's a very, like, you know what I mean? It's a big thing of you to do.
And you see, I think the gay, you know, that's gay. I think that's amazing. Because I tell you why, right? That was what happened to me. I'd be talking to my mates and I'd be saying this kind of stuff, right, that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And they just look at me and they'd say,
yeah,
you're fucked up. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah,
because I'd be talking about, do you not think, you know, institutions don't exist and all this kind of stuff? Like, what are you talking about?
Liverpool just scored a cracker of a goal against West Ham.
Bro, and I like, never the got football that. Talk used to break never me. Got
I can't get it. And I get the you're gay devastating stuff all the time.
Yeah. All that, any other words you can think of for the word gay, I probably have more similes for the word gay than like the Oxford Dictionary. I'd say I probably get you more. if it was a race between myself and himself, I'd say I'd smoke him.
Go on, give us an example.
Oh, you know I can't do that.
I'm putting you on the spot.
No, it's just that someone in my ball, Dino. I want to get in trouble.
You're an adult now, aren't you?
I am an adult now, but you know
who's going to spank you? Nobody.
Well, we'll see. But the very bald words I was called. Though, I'm glad I was. And it never even affected me. I was like, do you know what? I love that you are calling me that because it makes me want to do it more.
Because I was talking to one of my family members the other day and they were asking me about going into these meetings and, you know, and there was a bit of shame about it, like, you know, and I said, I am glad that I reached that point. Yeah. I am glad that I have this program. It'll only work as much as I work it. There is a part of me would have loved to me to kind of lean into this in my 20s, and I did, but I leaned away from it. I don't think in the crowd I would have broken out of the concrete without all that you're getting.
Lad, that's what I'm saying. Like, I actually feel sorry for, you know, the people who are growing up in, like, Hoth, yeah, and are just nurtured and just showered with, like, positive affirmations every time that they express themselves. I actually feel that they're being robbed. I actually do. I know that sounds crazy.
A friend of mine said they should put traveller sites out in Malahide so the Malahideans can get that experience.
That's
of
what I mean.
That, like, reality.
I actually love it, and I loved it then.
Yeah.
I loved it then. I'm not saying that to turn around now and be like, oh, what was me? Like, it was fucking brilliant, Dino. Like, do you remember that the first Pride that I played? I was called a fat gay cunt. I was called, you know what I mean? This, that, and that. But that was shit. This was that. Every single one of them is a valid criticism. Every single one of them. And you know what I did, right? The maddest thing is, right, as sensitive as I was, for whatever reason, I got a good old buzz out. Like, the lads, like, ripping into me for once. Do you know what I mean? For once. Because I was like, do you know what, bro? Like, I hear you, bro. Do you know what I mean? I hear you. And, like, yeah, maybe. And, like, It was like a liberating thing because I was like doubling down on it and like to this day, I strive in them environments. I love that. And it's fantastic that it was cutthroat because that means that only the real stuff was ever going to survive. You know what I mean? It's only the real stuff was ever going to be brought to term.
So see that point that you were at there, right?
Yeah,
at a very young age, right?
Yeah.
I've only realised that very recently, right, about... You know, somebody said to me, if you see it, you have it, right? And I'd be like, what are they talking about? It brought me into the conversation in my head.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Kieran Moran on the phone last night.
Yeah,
and we were
talking
about when I have a reaction, because I suffer with rage, right? So what happens is somebody says something racist to me or something about travellers or something like that, something about young people. I get this rage thing through me that goes, you're wrong, right?
Maybe...
We need those people. Maybe that anger is justified because we have to speak against that, maybe. But the other thing is, I'm asking the question, why is my inside self so conflicted when I hear this stuff, right?
Mm.
And I wonder, is it because inside of me there is a bit of racism or there's a bit of, you know, that...
There is. You can take the guess out of that. Like, there is. And, like, you don't get to get away with that.
So, am I raging against me? Am I raging against that? Because I recognise it.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, when you see it, you have it, right?
You know, that's what you meant by when you see it, you have it.
Yeah.
Didn't understand you. I get you now. Yeah. No, but I think that actually is shooting that.
But I didn't... Jonathan, I didn't know what it was till the other day, till I was talking to Kieran on the phone last night, and we were talking about, it's a real depth thing, like, you know what I mean? So somebody in work says to me, write that report, you know, and I go,
right?
And I'm like, what is that about? Like, why do I not want...
Was it pinging off you?
Yeah, why is it pinging at me? What was it? Primed. Why am I primed?
To just react in that vitriolic fashion.
And, you know, I can say, oh, well, maybe it's got to do with the fact that when I was a kid, I didn't like writing things in school or something like that. But it's not. It's stronger than that.
Yeah,
because I have overcome adversity and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know what I mean? I taught myself to play the guitar. I taught myself to sing. So I can overcome that stuff, but the rage points at something in me that's very deep, like, you know what I mean?
Mm.
For the first time in my life, I want to have a look at it. I want to go in there and...
Yeah, get in there, bro. Get in there. That's the name of the game. You fucking stare that down. Like, don't even think about, like, trying to fucking get away from that. Do you write?
No.
Lad.
He does. He done a creative writing course in this building.
3 pages in the morning.
Right.
Not creative, Sparky. Just... the minute you open your eyes, bro,
you want to see the conscious flow of the world.
Lad, that's what you want. See that stuff, because that'll put you face to face with the big bad, and then you have to look at it then. And now, do you know what, Roy? Mike Tyson said this as well, like, the truth will set you free, but it'll make you miserable first. Do you get what I mean? That's an alchemical process, bro. The sooner you can fucking catalyze that, the better. You know what I mean? Get that going.
I love the way you bring about 8 different things: the fight world, the Tesla world,
yeah,
the Francis Bacon world.
Yeah, I love all of it. It's all very important.
And you channeled all that. You looked at all your stuff in a cruller.
Tried to look at some of it, yeah.
And you put it out there for other people to look at, so they could possibly look at some of their
maybe
stuff.
They start having conversations with their mas and their dads and their nannies and granddads and all, yeah? Maybe.
Yeah. What was the first thing ever, musically ever done?
I'd be writing fucking raps in my room. Like, I might get hiding or something, or, you know, someone might have been crueled me or whatever, and I'd be like in my room writing little raps in my fucking my notebook with my wrestling stickers on it, riffing it out, and then then I learned guitar later. Over it. Yeah, just, I'm not warm. This is a song about a couple that are in love. And they split up. And then they see each other out the shops or whatever, you know what I mean? It's that conversation with a fella called Donny Hathaway. Hello forever. How has it been? Ain't it wonderful? You got a friend. Yeah. And the way we are, when we're together, let me know we still love one another. Ooh. Ain't it strange, but wonderful? Yeah. The way we still ran. Through our hearts, we've never parted. And through all our living, we're friends, yeah, through friendship, oh, whoa. And the way we are, when we're together, let me know we still love one another. Ain't it strange, but wonderful, the way we're still friends. Still friends. Yeah, Donny Hathaway, he's a really good man. I like him a lot. Listening to him now, the last word. Picked that tune up.
Is there any Fat Boy stuff?
Yeah, maybe.
Because big props to Donny, but
love Donny.
You're in the room.
Yeah, chill, yeah.
You were explaining your love for, and how you simplify music and the guitar. And you were saying to me a couple of weeks ago, we had a sit down, and you were going, "Dano, you know, there's only 7 notes."
Yeah. So how that works is, yeah, and I say this to a lot of my students, yeah, there's only 7 notes in the scale. Now, me and Sam used to go behind the Ashland Project. Sam McGuire, he taught me my first chords, and we used to play, you know, that song by Johnny Cash. And and Sam would play that, right, and I would hammer on the notes of the fourth chord. And I would sometimes do that. I don't know why, I just did it. I've never ever learned another scale. That was the first scale I ever figured out. I figured it out maybe like about 3 or 4 weeks into playing guitar, and I've been using it for the last 10 years. So the logic behind it is there's only seven days in a week. You remember them all right, don't you? So you have Monday, then you have Tuesday, then you have Wednesday, then you have Thursday, then you have Friday. Good bit of fun on Fridays, you know what I mean? Then you have Saturday, Sunday, and yeah, back around to Monday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So if I was to play you a 4-5-1. Then you just throw lines over the top of it. You get what I mean? It's real simple. A bit of Sunday, back to Monday. Do you know what I mean? Thursday, Friday, Monday, back to Friday again. And there's loads of different voices for it. Do you know what I mean?
Shivers.
And like, I hadn't heard guitar explained that way before. Do you get what I mean? So I knew that when I started teaching, and people, I would explain it to them, and they would just start smiling. So I knew that I was off that.
Did you get any tears? Because I'm crying my eyes out.
Oh, really? But yeah, I kind of knew then that I was after hitting on something special. Do you get what I mean? Because I spent a lot of time with the instrument. I love it. It's a beautiful instrument.
Give us something beautiful.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Hey, you know tonight we do it all. And we do it all back in the light. And I'm gonna bring it to you. Bring it on home to you.
It's a little gospel tune. Love gospel. Let me see if I have that in full for you.
Do you play guitar on any? There's a song I was listening to this morning on the album. Oh, I love that one where you're rapping and crying.
Ah, Pratsky.
Pratsky. I don't know how to say it. But there's another one that has a guitar in it and you're singing.
I sing and play guitar on all of them, yeah?
Yeah.
Most of them, anyway. I love playing. I wrote that riff when I was like 17. And I didn't have a home for it for ages, and then I laid that verse down about Joe. It was really, really intense. The piano and all was really, really intense, and I was like, wouldn't it be very funny then if you just turn around and like, because that riff feels like a little bit just, I don't know, like you're laughing at yourself, you know?
It's like a clown. That's what you hear.
Yeah, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, it's just real funny.
And I found the album was like you're being dropped through your life, and it's like a carnival.
Yeah, almost. It's a mad funhouse mirror job.
A bit of serious, a bit of kicking, a bit of crying.
That's
a bit of
what
laughing.
I mean. Yeah, yeah, because you're gonna have to shed a few tears, but you laugh as well. You know what I mean? And like, I think that's striking that balance is so important. If you're gonna talk about life, like light's not really that worthwhile without dark. And the like, same in music, like you can go like, but also you have to. Do you know what I mean? Like they're both really important. So you always have to be like teetering and tottering between the two things. And I think as a person, I can be very hot and cold, you know what I mean? So I try and play guitar like that a little bit.
Thank you.
like Aramba.
Yeah. Look, I don't know where that Spanish stuff comes from, bro, but just follow
I was going to suggest something there, but I won't.
Tell me, what's
I'll
it?
Say to you in private. No, you sure you knew your real dad?
Yeah, I do feel like, yeah, people used to always say when I was younger that I looked real Mexican. Maybe that's it. Maybe my subconscious mind.
You're
like,
the dude with the mask on in the Mexican bleeding Nacho Libre.
Yeah. That was me. It must be, yeah, related to me somehow. Yeah. That Spanish music always just really fucking resonated with me, Dino. I don't know why.
Give us a full one there, will you?
Yeah, of course I will. Yeah.
Walking out the door, and I learned about you. Is you tell me more? 'Cause you burn me. And if you got the reasons, hey mama, I can't believe just losing on this couple. Free me from the wall. Hey. Answer my machine. And now that I'm alone, 'cause right now it's just the way, and can't go to the phone. And I know it makes no sense, yeah, 'cause you walked out the door. It's the only way I hear your voice anymore. It's ridiculous. It's been months. For some reason I just can't get over us. And I'm stronger than this, so better with my thoughts of you and your memory. How every song reminds me of what used to be. And that's the reason I'm so sick of the songs, so tired of tears, and so done with wishing she was still here. And so sick of the songs, and so sad and slow. Oh, why can't I turn on the radio? Gotta fix that calendar I have. It's March July 15th, because since there's no more you, there's no more anniversary. So better with my thoughts of you and your memory. How every song reminds me of what it used to be. And that's the reason I'm so sick of love songs, so tired of tears, and so done with wishing she was still here. And so sick of love songs, so sad and slow. And why can't I turn on the radio? And yeah, leave me alone. Hey, stupid love songs don't make me think about a smile I have in my first child. I'm letting go, turning off the radio, and I'm
tease.
Ah, thank you, brother. Thank you. I'll try and do it. Try.
One of the things I noticed is you tease us. It's a slow reveal.
Yeah, I think
because
so.
You're consciously muting.
Yeah, you know I'm trying. That was a bit froggy there. I didn't warm up.
No, but you're constantly. I think could be any words. I was saying, and that's a song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than going as you were saying on the guitar, straight chords.
Yeah.
You're kind of watering it a little bit.
Yeah.
And what that does for me is the lyrics could be anything. It doesn't really matter.
No, it's not super important.
It helps with the malady.
Yeah.
As Sparky would say, the spiritual malady that I'm an imposter here.
Yeah.
And your music helps us bridge that gap.
Yeah,
and get connected. And it doesn't really matter what the words are.
No.
Like in the church, it doesn't matter what they're saying when it connects with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. The energy, like even there, like I was singing like pitchy and stuff like that, but it's just like, so long as you're present in the room with someone, like they'll see your heart. You know what I mean? They'll see your heart.
Absolutely.
You don't have to worry
about absolutely.
You don't have to worry about getting it perfect. Don't worry about
I'm
that.
Interested in how we, me, you and Sparky, maybe Maverick, because yeah. I know that...
Yeah, he's a good friend. He's after looking after me big time.
You're signed with FAM, yeah. Maverick's label.
Yeah.
Your introduction to Maverick was in the Reco Youth Centre in Ballymun.
Yeah, he has no memory of that.
So he came to Ballymun to shoot a video with me and another guy, Hector. I remember saying to you, hang around in the afternoon, I'm going to bring a guy over.
Yeah, yeah.
And then putting you in the same room and saying, there might be some alchemical magic that comes out of this.
No, I was too young for that. I just, like, do you know what, the rest of the lads did a great job, like Ollie and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like they were the lads back then.
Yeah, well, all we were doing...
My time hadn't come.
All we were doing was planting seeds.
Yeah, yeah.
Creating the conditions.
Some of those seeds came along. So I'm interested, and we've chatted about this a couple of weeks ago, how do we bring that celebration of the nuance of life back into our community? So what I'm suggesting is me, you, Sparky, and there's another couple of people, we curate our own show in Ballymun. Let's curate it. Let's bring up to some of the guys, because I went to see you in the Sugar Club recently.
Every single person who done them Sugar Club shows, so like Abby, Mav, Shiv, Kowja, Courtesy,
Packet,
they...
let's bring them to the moon.
They all, but they all done the show for free. They saw me here. Sammy sold the tickets. I didn't know if the event was going to sell out. I didn't know like what was going to happen for sure. What we done was we put the tickets on sale, and then the first lot of tickets sold out in 10 minutes. So we sold like 500 tickets in like 10 minutes, and then we had to do a second night then because we'd already raised the money in the first night, you get what I mean? So then we did the second night. That sold out in 10 minutes again. So like that set us up then, and it really, really helped.
I think there is the beginning. The seeds are starting to
germinate.
So, like tonight in Poppin' to You Project, the young people who are there's a couple of bands up there have invited young people their own age from Ballyferma and town and Finglas over to have a jam, to have a gig. Tomorrow night there's an open mic night in Axis.
I'm on that. Yeah, I'll be back up. I ran into Tanya up in Arbor College. Because I'm looking to do I'm putting together like a set of me on, like see the way I just did there, like that was freezing cold, like that's just fresh out of bed, but like 3 hours sleep. But I've been like walking out like a really nice set, and you know, I just mainly guitar, just singing and like playing.
There's young people on a Tuesday in Popo. These young people who are playing like absolutely savage music, like you know, and it would be great. Like there's a young man who came into the room one day. I got a drum kit off Dean. I mean, Sarah, it was a banger of a yoke.
Yeah.
And he came in and he just goes, I want to learn this. Now, this young person, I never seen him having rhythm because he used to dance real strangely. Dance real awkwardly.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then he sat down and then within 2 minutes, he's playing a straight beat, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was in the club the other night and they were playing and they went off. You know when they go off? They're playing a song, right? Because they're trying to learn a song for the gig, right?
Yeah, but then
they start jamming, right? They start messing, right?
Yeah, that's what put the bug in me as well, yeah. Like, that jamming in the record.
We were excited, and I went down and I said to them, I said, what was that thing that you just did there? And one of them said, I recorded that on my phone.
Yeah.
And I said, go back to that.
There you go. Fucking put it together. Open it up.
And I swear, like, 100%. They were... You couldn't say to these young people, because they're where they're at, you couldn't say to them, this is the way to arrange a song. They just tell you to fuck off, right?
Yeah.
Because they're so into it at the minute. They're so loving it. I was trying to tell them, guys, you have to tune the guitars together.
Yeah,
and they were like,
shut
up. And I was like, right sound.
Yeah.
But then somebody else came in and said to them, you sound great, but you're all out of tune. And they were like, what do you mean? I said, well, you have to tune the guitars together. And they were looking at me.
See Tanya at my first gig.
Yeah.
But before the band, sang the whole gig like 2 semitones out. And Tanya came with me after and was like, you weren't in K1's there.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because you done it, because you got up.
And I was delighted, bro.
And you learned it, and you, Francis Bacon, that you just picked up, you didn't know what colour it was, you just picked it up and squirted it on the palette. There was music happening in Ballymun. There was music happening in Axis, up in Poppentry, in Trinity Comp, in the Reco.
Yeah.
And I think we should grab it while it's hot and do something really, really special.
Yeah.
And get the funding and just blow people out of the water.
And really have it be like a masterclass in like organizing stuff and make people understand that like you do not have to do anything in half measures. You don't have to, like, I think as well, like, there's a humility that comes along with being like a musician from like Ballymun or whatever like that. Dispense with that entirely. Don't half measure a single thing. You know what I mean? Spend yourself fully.
I'm going to hold three of us to this.
There was a gig in Nexus. There was a couple of bands that were prepared, right? And these three young fellas that I'm talking about, right?
Mm.
That could just play, had just started playing that week. Straight them, right? There was one on bass. I have a bass up there and one of the yokes is the other way around and all. It's fucked up, right?
Yeah.
But they were like, we want to be on the gig. And I was like, lads, you aren't ready, you know? And they were like, no, we are ready, right? Yeah, we are ready, right? So what happened was,
we'll get ready.
So a lot of us, what happened was they go around. One of them sits down when he's playing, right? One of them plays the guitar sitting down. So he's sitting down, the bass player standing up.
Bro, proper job.
He's nearly vomiting, right? With the nerves. And then the drummer is the guy that I'm talking about, right? So he sits down and they play the riff to Smells Like Teen Spirit, right?
Yeah.
That's
a hard drum part. That's a tough drum part.
So at one moment, right, he goes and back into the riff, right? And the whole place kicks off.
There you go. That's all it takes.
So the resonance from the kit up to the people were sitting down and next thing everybody jumped up to cheer them on, to say, fucking go for it, man, right?
Yeah.
And one of the youth workers said to the drummer guy, your rock face was deadly. And I knew what he meant. Like, he had this face. He kind of was looking up going, am I creating this reaction?
Yeah.
And he just couldn't. He was like as if, why are they all screaming at me?
Me and Sam had a word for that, right? So like, me and Sam, because we spent ages in that band room together, And we'd be playing shows, and it's like, you're playing a show and you're like this, and it's not working, it's not doing the dance. We had a word for it where we found out, like, see if you were like, see the way they're going, you do that quiet, right? And any like 15 year old who's in a band, right, all you need to do to have a good show is, right, in every song you do 2 out of 10 and you do 10 out of 10 dynamically. It's called a kick in. All you need is a song with a kick in and then to come back out again and the crowd goes fucking nuts for every time. And do you know what you get bonus points for? Say if the second time doing the kick in, you're like, right, whatever. Say that's the chords, right? You're going, then you stop, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then go quiet again. Just strum the chords. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have a really, really quiet part and a really, really loud part and a part that stops suddenly for like 4 beats, people are gonna go nuts.
That's how the Pixies made 45 million.
Yeah, it is though.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like the darkness and the light. Here's a little bit of loud, here's a bit of quiet, dynamic. Find yourself in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And at some point, we're all going to resonate. The residents will resonate. We're all going to get the vibe, you know?
Yeah, I expected better guitar to come out of me there when I started playing. That was devastating for me. That was a tiny...
You didn't crush us.
I'll edit in really good guitar.
Please, if you can. if it's no trouble.
Brother.
Or take something from the show, because, see that dynamic thing, That's the first thing you need to figure out. If you're 14 and you're in a band, it doesn't matter if you can play well, it doesn't matter if you can play bad. Like, just figure out dynamics. Timing, dynamics, 2 or 3 stops in 15 minutes. Pace it well. That's a fantastic show.
Stops are unreal.
Stop, start.
And it's the same in comedy. It's the same in public speaking.
Yeah.
The stops.
People love that shit. People love that shit. That's how you do it.
Yeah, 100%.
Sadly, we're going to stop this.
Nice one for
thank you so much, lads, for holding that space for me. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Brother, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
I'm excited for what you will reveal to the world over the next couple of years.
Yeah, man, it's going to be really special. I'm going to just keep my head down, just keep going.
Keep on going, brother.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Keep your head up.
You too, Sparky, brother. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You know I love you, don't you? And I do want it for you. What do you want for you? You know I would. What are you going to tell? Don't you?
Will you? Fresh, yeah?